So wow, what a powerful words in that, in the song we just sang, and just thinking about we stand forgiven before the cross. Just that fact alone gives us the privilege to come to the Lord in prayer and pray to Him as Jesus taught us to pray. And we're going to continue on tonight with teaching on the Lord's Prayer. I believe we took a week off, and so just as a brief intro, let's recap some things. The entire first half of the Lord's Prayer is solely focused on God. The prayer opens with an exclusive desire to bring honor and glory to Him and His name, and He's exalted as Father. We're taught to pray for His glory, His kingdom, and His will, and everything centers, as it should, on the God of glory and His honor. And now we're taught to pray for ourselves. This is the transition. And on the surface, this petition seems to be narrow and selfish. But compared to the unselfish God-centered attitude demonstrated in the first part of the prayer, in the first part, everything is spiritual. Here, everything seems to be fleshly in nature, turning the spotlight off of God and onto ourselves. But when you dig deep and you balance that our scripture tonight against other scripture as a whole, scripture tells us something very different than that. It is not fleshly. Even this request for personal needs is intensely spiritual in nature. At its core, this petition elevates our hearts and our God. Even though we are here making requests for ourselves, the spotlight still squarely in the face of the Almighty. As truly as prayer is about adoration and worship, it's also requesting dependence and needs. Tonight, we're going to consider the simple prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And as we do, we're going to look at three aspects of this prayer. First is going to be the devotion in this prayer. Second, the dependence in this prayer. And third, it will be the depth in this prayer. By praying this focused mini prayer within the context of the larger prayer, we're saying that we believe in certain things. By coming to God to request the provision of the basic needs of life, we are entering into a time of profound worship. In reality, no higher form of worship exists than for a child of God to enter into the presence of his Heavenly Father and unashamedly declare, "I cannot make it without you. I am totally dependent upon you, Lord." This prayer is devotion because we are saying that we believe in God's power. When we pray for God to meet our needs, we are proclaiming our faith in His power to do just that. We're telling Him that we believe His word, that He is able to take care of us. When we look at Job, Job chapter 42, verse 2, it says, "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us." This is the Bible's testimony concerning our God and His power. If our God can create everything from nothing, then He can take care of you and me. If He can feed 2 million Israelites for 40 years in the desert, then He can take care of you and me today. If He can do all the great things He did throughout the pages of the Word of God, then we do not need to doubt His ability to take care of us. He is able, and He will see to it that our needs are met. This prayer is devotion because we are saying that we believe in God's promises. When we pray for this simple prayer, we're confessing our faith and promise that God has made to His children. The Bible is very clear when it tells us that the Lord will take care of His own. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread." Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So he has promised to provide our needs, and he will do it because he cannot lie. This prayer is devotion because we are saying we believe in God's personality. When we ask God for the daily needs of life, we are not trying to twist his arm to get him to give us things that he does not want us to have. We're not trying to overcome his reluctance to meet our needs. We are merely laying hold of his provision. We're humbly acknowledging his willingness to give. Nothing honors God more than his children coming to him in childlike faith, asking him for what they need, believing that he loves them and that he is a generous God. God's not a Scrooge who has to be persuaded to meet our needs. He is our Father, and he delights in giving us the good things of life. Luke 12, verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Look at all the great gifts that God has already given us, and then especially consider the great gift of his Son, Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" God's word says he is an open-handed God who rejoices in the opportunity to give to his children. This prayer acknowledges and honors that aspect of God's personality. So the question to us, Christian, is, do we pray with devotion like we believe? We pray, give us, with the right heart. We show our devotion, but we also show our dependence. Not only does this prayer honor the Lord by worshiping him as the great giver, it also expresses the total dependence of the child of God upon his heavenly Father. Notice what this prayer says about us and our relationship to the heavenly Father. This prayer shows dependence as a prayer of confession. This prayer says we can't meet our needs, but God, you can. And we are confessing that we believe that God is able where we are not. When we pray this prayer, we are not resting in our own ability to work and put food on our table. We are acknowledging the truth that we can only work because God gives us the strength. We are expressing the truth that he is God, and we are totally dependent upon him for all the things that we need as we pass through this life day by day. This prayer shows dependence as a prayer of confidence. The idea of this simple prayer is this: give us day by day the things that are necessary for life. And this is not a request for God to meet needs that have not yet risen. It is an expression of faith in God that says, I believe you will take care of me one day at a time. Someone has said, yesterday is a canceled check. It has already been redeemed. Tomorrow is a promissory note. It may never be paid. Today is cash in hand. Spend it wisely. There's no need to pray about yesterday's needs, for yesterday is forever gone. There's no need to pray about tomorrow's needs, for tomorrow may never come. We are told to pray about today and to walk in simple faith and confidence in the Lord day by day. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not anxious tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Alan Carr said it well. He said, far too many believers try to live on yesterday's bread. It is stale and moldy. What you need is fresh bread day by day. We need a fresh work of the Lord in our hearts and lives every day we live. We are to walk with him on a day-by-day basis, trusting him for all the needs of life. We need his righteousness for our sinfulness. We need his supply for our weakness. And we need his patience for our haste. We need the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. to nourish us day by day. Additionally, when we place our confidence in God and when God feeds us daily, we need to eat our daily bread, remembering that a kernel of wheat had to fall to the ground and die to give us that bread. Likewise, as we pass through this life, we should daily remember that Jesus Christ went to the cross, died in our place, that we might have him as our bread of life every day. We need him. Let's not be afraid to call on him in confidence, knowing that no one comes to the Heavenly Father's table and goes away hungry. Scripture attests to God's trustworthiness. This prayer shows dependence as a prayer of contentment. This simple prayer says, we are willing to accept the things he will send into our life today. We may not always like the bread God sends us our way each day, but we can trust him to send us exactly what we need. So if we are called upon to eat the bread of sorrow and affliction, then he knows best. If we're allowed to feast on heavenly manna, then that too is his choice for us. Our duty is to trust him to do in our lives exactly what needs to be done day by day. As Romans 8, verse 28 says, and we know that for those who work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The practice of contentment is one of the greatest challenges any believer faces in life. Yet it is what God expects from each one of us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Nothing says that I trust you, Lord, like perfect contentment on the part of his children. May the Lord help us to get there and to walk with him in total dependence day by day. So Christian, all of us, do we pray with dependence like we believe the word of God? Finally, I'd like to look at the depth of this prayer. On the surface, give us this day our daily bread is a simple, straightforward request. When you think about it, this prayer is very large in scope. It has depth because it is it's a communal prayer. And I hope you noticed as I've been talking, I use the words we, us, and our. The reason is nowhere is I used in this prayer. And that is consistent with Philippians. It says, let each of you not look only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. And also Galatians 6 verse 8 says, nor bear each other's burdens. Know what those burdens are. Therefore, we have this need to live in community as Scripture commands. Hebrews 10 verses 24 through 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So living life together is how your needs and my needs become our needs. And only then can we pray communally, give us this day. This prayer has depth because it is a comprehensive prayer. This prayer this is more than a prayer for food on our plates. This is a humble request for God to provide everything, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, that we need to make it through each day. If we could ever get to the place where we truly trust him for all we need day by day, then worry and fear would die out of our lives. We would be in place of contentment and peace, knowing that our Heavenly Father is in perfect control of all the situations of our lives. And if we truly believed he was in control, we would bring every situation to him in prayer. Some people will not pray for themselves, thinking it is fleshly and not spiritual. Jesus clearly wants us to pray for the necessities of life. Therefore, let us not bring every matter to him, knowing he will hear us, sustain us, and supply us to move through the life. So this is the question. Are our prayers for our daily bread comprehensive, or do our prayers reflect we trust ourselves more than God? H.B. Charles comments, prayer is arguably the most objective measurement of our dependence upon God. The things you pray about are the things you trust God to handle. The things you neglect to pray about are the things you trust you can handle on your own. In other words, what we pray, what we don't pray for, says way more about our confidence in God than what we do pray for. May the Lord help his people realize that we are to ask, and if we will ask, we will receive. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" And also James 4, verse 2 says, "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." So Christian, do we pray with depth like we believe in the Word of God? God is not a tight-fisted, mean-spirited, heartless dictator who delights in watching his children struggle. He is a gracious, loving, heavenly Father who delights in giving his best gifts to those who know him. Robert McShane, a great Scottish preacher who was mightily God until his death at the age of 29, said, "God will either give you what you ask or something far better." Let me encourage all of us to come to the Father and tell him about all the needs in our lives. Let's never be afraid, never be ashamed, and never limit our praying to only certain matters. Come to him, call on his name, believing that he cares and he hears and that he will answer us for his glory. So listen once again to more of his promises. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." John 14:13-14, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." And then there's Matthew 21:22, says, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." So Christians, do we pray with devotion, dependence, and depth like we believe the Word of God? Perhaps there's somebody here tonight that needs to pray about something this evening. If Jesus is your Savior, the way to God's throne is not obstructed. He wants you to come into the Holy of Holies and make your request known. He longs to give you what you need today. If you're here and you have never made a profession of faith in Christ for your salvation, this prayer is actually not for you. You see, the larger prayer starts, "Our Father." If you do not have Christ, God is your enemy, not your Father. Your sins have created a separation between you and God that you cannot ever bridge, and your sin is cosmic treason and warrants the full wrath of God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says apart from Christ, our good deeds are like filthy rags to him. But there is exceedingly good news. God says he loves you and has demonstrated that, and while you are yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Scripture goes on to say that if you confess your sins to God and repent, which means turn away from your sins and turn to Christ and believe, trusting in only him to save you, you will be saved. And you can do that tonight. I urge you, if the Holy Spirit is moving your heart tonight, urging you to turn towards Christ, please don't leave tonight without talking to me or another elder. Let us pray.